Every time our athletes walk into this weight room, they're going to be pushed to the max.
Let's go!
The barbell hasn't changed in over 100 years. I can take a 25-pound plate, and we'll go out on the turf, and I'll have you hating life. We talk about straining your gut, pushing past that comfort level. I want a lot of energy.
What better breeding ground is there for being a success in life than the weight room?
Hey guys, welcome back to Iron Game Chalk Talk. I'm your host, Rob McKeefer, and this is episode number 259. I want to thank you for listening each week. Really appreciate those of you that like, share, comment. Just helps us continue to highlight the great people that we have in our profession. Also want to thank our sponsors, and specifically VersaPulley, for bringing this episode to you for free. I only partner with companies that I believe in, both their product and their people, and Kirsten and the gang over at VersaPulley. Are incredible people and have a great product as well. And so if you're in the market, please reach out to them. If not, please let them know how much you appreciate them being a part of the podcast. This week I'm joined by a friend of mine, Rob Pacey. He's creator of the Pacey Performance Podcast, which we got, I think we started the podcast about the same time, maybe a little bit after. A former professional soccer player, has a facility, has a business performance business as well, but done a handful of things. But man, it's been a long time coming getting you on the show.
It has, hasn't it? It's been far too long. And it's episode 259. Jeez,
that's quite a few.
I'm way behind.
Well, this is right now. Like I made the announcement a few months back, but this is the last year of Iron Game Chalk Talk. We're gonna take a little break. We may pick it back up. But we're going to take a little break after this year and just want to, I've got, some other things going on, and I just, honestly, it's the bandwidth. I just don't have the bandwidth for it right now.
Yeah. But, I understand.
But, it's definitely been a huge part of what we've done. But now I want to talk about you though. Let's get into your journey a little bit. Let's talk a little bit about you, that journey from being a professional soccer player. I mean, there was a reason that you got into strength and conditioning and performance in training because of your experience as an athlete, as a soccer player. What was it about? Was it something good? Was it something bad that got you from athlete to coach?
Athlete to coach. It was, I'll be honest with you, it was a difficult transition. It was difficult coming out of playing. That was a tough pill to swallow, the getting released from the club that I was at when I was 19. So it was a struggle getting there, going for trials and things like that with lower league football clubs over here, and then finally getting in, spending 2 years as a youth team player, and then a year as a pro. And that was, yeah, when you get the kind of the finger into the manager's office to get him so he can tell you that, you know, he kind of not want it anymore. That's a tough pill to swallow. But it was something that I always wanted to, if I couldn't make it as a player, I always wanted to be in and around professional sport in whatever capacity it was. And then, so I went part-time straight after that. Obviously we've got this, the kind of system over here, it goes into non-league and part-time, and earned a little bit of money from it, and then ended up coming back. I ended up coming back to the same club that I'd been released at 4 years previous, which was interesting because it was the same staff, it was the same players, it was the same captain who was there. And that, obviously, that was the reason that I did go back, because I had them connections, and I hadn't even finished my degree at that point, and I'd asked for a little bit of experience just as an intern. I don't think we even, well, didn't really know what interns were at that point. I don't think there was any about. It was just a bit of work experience, and
right.
Went back into the club and knew the manager who'd gave me that interesting chat 4 years previous. But I think the thing that I wanted to do was, and the club had changed so much since then. They'd been promoted, and I was at the club at a time where money was tight. There was no gym. There was no fitness coach. There was nothing. There was a leg extension, a leg curl, and a bench press in the corner of the canteen where we used to eat our dinner.
All the essentials. You don't need much more than that, right?
Exactly. So that was an interesting scenario, going back, having a pretty well-stocked gym for that kind of level of football. And, Yeah, so got involved in there and got given the job. And I think the interesting thing for me, looking back, was they didn't particularly care what experience I had. Well, I had none. I had no experience at all. I didn't have even a degree at that point, but it was an academy job, and it was the words that they used was, as long as you're not going to rock the boat, which no, you're not, you're in. So it was okay, I've got the job. And that was just because they knew what I was about. They knew what I was like as a player, obviously not good enough for their standard, but as a person as well. And they gave me the job. But that first few months was a tough transition, going from obviously the other side a couple of years earlier to actually being the guy who needs to make the decisions, or make certain decisions anyway, and being in front of a group of players that, and they all knew that I'd been there 4 years previous. And they also knew that I kind of still wanted to be one of them as well.
Sure.
So yeah, it was a tough one, but it was a good one as well.
Yeah, I think that's the story of most coaches, you know, is that you have such a passion for the game that you got to be around it some capacity, even after it's done for you as an athlete. And I mean, that was hard for me as well. And then you throw it into a situation where you're dealing with people that are basically the same age, you know, and maybe, you started the journey together, you know, and so now you're having to separate yourself as a coach amongst your peers, which isn't easy, you know. What was, you know, and I imagine you made a lot of mistakes when dealing with that. What's one of the biggest mistakes that you've made in your career and how you've learned from it?
Yeah, I think that it comes back to that, like we've just said, that transition. I think I was still in the mindset of, and I was still playing at the time, so I got given a little bit of leeway within the job because I was earning a little bit of money elsewhere from still playing. And that made it really difficult because just in simple scenarios, like it was an academy job, so I was working with 18-year-olds and below. And if we used to have a man short, they'd ask me to come and play. And I'd be like, what was it, 25, 24, 25. So I'm only like 5 or 6 years older than these guys.
Right.
And that was really difficult. And I think that the biggest mistake that I made was not being hard enough on them early on. And I was too much of a friend. And that kind of, as I got experience, that kind of came back. But I was able to deal with it a lot better in terms of building the relationships. But yes, building a kind of friendship, but also keeping it professional. But I think at the start, I was still finding myself being one of them. Although 5 or 6 years older, I was still in that mindset a little bit, and I probably wasn't hard enough on them, and they probably took advantage of me a little bit because they knew where my kind of passion still was, and that was wanting to be where they were ultimately. Sure.
Yeah, I think, you know, that's something that when I was, I mean, I was a head strength coach at 22 years old, you know, and in the NFL, you know, with NFL Europe, you know, I agree. I could identify with that quite a bit, where just wanted to be one of them, or likewise, you know, those are the guys that, you know, if you were all just, you know, hanging out, it would be the people that you would choose to hang out with, you know, the people that have the same interest and whatnot. You know, one of the things that I did, you know, tactically, to try to separate was that word coach was, it means something. It means something to me. It means something to people. And so I just started from the get-go. I introduced myself as Coach Mac or Coach McKeefery, and that helped separate a little bit. Is there anything that you did tactically, you know, that people can, that were in a similar situation to you, that could go back to their, you know, to their teams and implement right away to try to create that separation between friend and coach?
I kind of lent on the other guys in the support team as well, because the role that I had was really new. They had it because the manager who was in the job at the time in the academy had a few issues with regards to the fitness side of things. He was quite old school, so they brought in someone before me who was who had a degree and, you know, had a little bit about them in terms of what we should be actually doing. But we were quite a young support team. So I lent on the physios who were very similar ages, but had been around a little bit in that industry as practitioners before me, and just observed them really, and how they dealt with that kind of separation. And looking at a profession like physiotherapy that was obviously is quite highly regarded, and we were in the kind of strength and conditioning department of two that was quite new, and I just learned on them really and just saw how they dealt with it. And they dealt with it in very, very interesting ways that I kind of adopted really. And there was quite a bit of a separation between the S&C coach and the physios, as having done the podcast for a couple of years is quite normal. But I tried to integrate with them a lot more, became very friendly with them and spent a lot of time with them and adopted their way of getting players to do what they wanted them to do, which I'd quite struggled with at the start, like because of the things just mentioned. But yeah, I think that for me, it was just leaning on the guys that had experience and used to deal with it in ways that I thought I could adopt and I kind of I agreed with. So it's not a definitive answer, but yeah, I just watched the guys that around me really.
Yeah, I mean obviously there's some inspiration and wisdom, you know, with these coaches that we work with on a daily basis. And so taking pages out of their books is always a good idea. You mentioned the podcast and we talked about it in the onset, you know, of, you know, you starting, I think you started yours in 2013, right?
Yeah. The back end of that year. Yeah.
So we're pretty close to about the same time, you know, and starting our podcast. What was the reasoning, you know, I mean, for starting the podcast, what was kind of the origin story of that? And what's the mission? What are you trying to accomplish with it?
It started out very selfishly. It was at a time where I was still at the football club, but I was kind of in a position where I thought it's probably now time for me to transition out and go somewhere else. And I realized very quickly, especially in the world of football that's very small, that I didn't actually know that many people. I had a degree. And that was pretty much it. I knew the guys that were around me, but I needed some other influences. And I knew how important the network was going to be because it had been so important in getting me that job in the first place. So I thought, what ways could I get people to speak to me? Like, I'm just Rob. I'm at a football club in an academy job, getting very, very little amount of money. Still trying to half live the dream as a semi-professional footballer. And I ended up actually listening to Brendan's podcast that he used to do. And he was just getting his business going alongside his work at Leeds Beckett. And I thought, I could do that. He's getting some really good guys on and I think I can do that. So I just had my old iPhone, right. Put it next to the laptop, got someone on Skype and started doing it. And looking back, like, I think it took me about 25 episodes to actually listen to one back,
right?
Because it was so horrible to listen to. But I think I've tried to go back and change a little bit of the audio to make it a little bit better. But it went from that kind of selfish endeavor to try to get to know people to not long into the podcast episode, me actually thinking, I think people are listening to this. And people are tuned in and telling me that they're listening and give me a few pointers and things, which was great. And then it kind of transformed into a bit of a being within itself, like a life of its own, really. And it's just kind of kicked on from there. And the web of contacts has grown. It's not now about, you know, building the contacts, but that just comes with it as a byproduct. But I think the mission is... For me personally, and I was speaking to an ex-colleague today, and they were saying, like, I don't spend much time actually out on the field anymore coaching, and he said, do you not find it frustrating that you're speaking to these people and you can't put it into practice as much as you used to be able to? And I think now the art form for me is actually being a better host. That's the thing that I want to get better at, and I want to challenge myself in terms of, like, I want to do more speaking. I did a little bit of, I hosted a little event, well, not a little event, quite a decent size event, up at Leeds Beckett a couple of weeks ago. and got asked to do that, which was great. And that was one of the tests of myself and getting up in front of an audience and kind of holding that. So it's the mission is still a not so much of a selfish one, but yeah, it's just me developing them kind of skills, but also just sharing stories of what people go through day to day. I think that's probably the biggest thing for what I want from guests is just to share that. Just be honest, really. And I think you're never going to get everything you want in a 45-minute, half an hour, 15-minute chat, whatever it may be. But I think just to open them lines of communication and to test the people who are on the other end as well, test the guests, and hopefully they'll, you know, maybe they've not done a podcast before, or like me now. So, you know, they're learning as well and being more comfortable in speaking to people and speaking about what they do. Because I think that's a really positive thing to learn about is to, it helps you articulate, like writing does. It helps you articulate what you're actually doing and why.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more. And I mean, a very similar mind started from just going around and visiting and then to get it expensive. And so I found Skype and started recording it because Mike Boyle told me I should turn it into a podcast. And I didn't even know what a podcast was at the time. But I think what I've learned that I think you would echo and agree with is, you know, I had my network, I had my circle of influence, you know, and very rarely did I get outside of that circle of influence when I was, you know, when I was just coaching, I wasn't doing the podcast. You know, because of doing the podcast, it forced me to get outside and be creative and find interesting guests and, you know, get outside of my circle of influence. And when I did, every time I did that, I learned something new, or I built, you know, added to my toolbox. And it's made me a 10 times better coach, but not just from talking to people and thinking outside the box, because I think that bled into, you know, into coaching. But it also what made me essentially one degree of separation from almost anybody in the performance space, you know, and being able to reach out to the expert in a specific particular area. And so, I, you know, to me, I think, again, we talk, you know, you and I have talked about, you know, the power of a podcast and all the things that go into it and how much of a time drain it can be, you know, and how much work goes into it. But I think it's noble people like yourself that are putting out resources and finding ways to contribute to the body of work that exists. That's making us all better. And so I appreciate you for that. We talked a little bit about the performance side, you know, and you kind of, you know, working with different teams. You've been with, you know, worked with a handful of universities. You've done some business consulting for Catapult and Vault and some other companies. You know, this whole commercial side of the industry, you know, it's branding and entrepreneurship, you know, it's almost like these bad words in our field. Talk a little bit about being an entrepreneur in the strength and conditioning space.
It's something that I'm really passionate about. And like you said a minute ago, with finding new ways to disseminate information, and that's something that gets me going. It's like with the audio abstracts that I've started doing, with the podcasts, with other things that are coming to me, you know, all the time, with ways to connect with different people, connect with different audiences. That's something that has really interested me over the last couple of years. But I think the entrepreneurship side of things is an interesting one, because I was doing a little bit of research before this and looking at how many MSc in strength and conditioning in the UK there are, how many undergraduate strength and conditioning courses there are. And I think there was 20 plus MSc in strength and conditioning in just England alone, and 25 plus undergraduate courses in England alone. And I'm sure there's more out there. It's just what I could dig up online. And I think, especially with the state of the jobs market, not just here, but everywhere, there's got to be something different out there for people to strive towards. And I was guilty of it, of looking online and looking at jobs boards and applying for the odd job that came up in June when the football season had finished. And I just think there's got to be something out there, and there's got to be a other directions that people can go. Not to say that they shouldn't pursue them jobs that are out there. I think it's important to let people know that there are other avenues, and I've certainly taken one for a number of reasons. But the commercial side is one, and it's especially in the sports tech area, it's just growing and growing and growing. And people who are coming out with MSCs in strength and conditioning in sports, and that's not to mention the sports science side of things. There's lots of opportunities for people, and a different lifestyle to what they would live as in a professional club or a university or something like that. So it's one thing that I spoke to Brad Bartholomew about on a recent podcast that will come out in a couple of weeks, and it was to get out there and hopefully speak at a couple of universities here in the UK and just share the kind of journey that I've been on and why I've done it and why I've kind of taken a little bit of a left turn to go down the commercial route and kind of what it's led to. And obviously not all good, not all fantastic and, you know, come out smelling of roses, but it's just another option. And I think it's easy to get down and look at the jobs market and think, okay, I need a PhD and I'm still not going to get paid. There are other options, and the sports tech and the commercial side has been one that's been good for me in a ton of areas. So yeah, it's something that I'm really passionate about in sharing that message, really.
Yeah, I think, you know, obviously you have to, it's one way of differentiating yourself in a crowded space, you know, is by having something behind you outside of just being that strength coach that's at a football club in the academy system. You know, I agree with you. And I think we all, I've been on this soapbox lately, but we all have an obligation. It's really, this profession still only in its infancy. You know, we have an obligation to kind of contribute to the body of work in some way. And so that's writing, that's videos, that's podcasts, that's, you know, books, it's a lot of different things. And for me, you know, writing was the hard part. So when I figured out that I could do a video podcast, I was like, man, that's sign me up for that, you know? And, but I think people got to figure out what, you know, what can be their platform. You know, what can be their platform to spread information? Because you've had people that have poured into you, you know, you have an obligation to pour into other people, in my opinion. So, you know, when we talk branding, and, you know, there's a certain level of, you know, you don't want to brand and self-promote like a douchebag. You want to make sure that you're doing it from a position of giving, you know, so but for me, and I think for you, it's, you know, our platform's education. We want to try to educate other coaches. We want to try to help other coaches. And if we can make a little bit of money on the side doing that, so be it, you know, but it's not without its investment of time or energy or learning how to, I mean, I spent $1,000 on a course to learn how to podcast, you know, I mean, mm-hmm. You know, there's a certain amount of, you know, tech, like you got, right, you know, you got a microphone, a nice microphone, a boom, and all that, you know, there's investments in that. And so that should come back at some point, but it's not a negative thing. It's not a bad thing to put yourself out there. And, you know, for me, that was something that I think for you as well, is, you know, the fear of putting yourself out there and figuring, like, you know, that your mentors or the people that are further along the journey would have, you know, some negative kind of recourse to you putting yourself out there. But I don't know for you, but for me, it's been quite the opposite. It's been those people were the ones that were the biggest supporters of somebody trying to kind of contribute to the body of work. You know, what has been your experience with putting yourself out there, or how have you dealt with those that have maybe come at you in a negative way, saying, hey, look, what, you know, who's this kid talking about as an authority here, you know?
Yeah, I think it's an interesting one. It's that putting yourself out there as an authority, it's something that I've tried to stay away from. And it's, I set up did the podcast, and it was never really about me, apart from in the first maybe couple of episodes, but very quickly, that's not where I'm comfortable. I'm not comfortable being the guy on the stage, which is why it's so interesting now in actually forcing myself to do that. But there's been people out there who've been massive helps to me and massive supporters of mine in terms of putting people my way to speak to just generally, or the podcast. Mike McGuigan comes to mind over in New Zealand. He's been superb. He's sent so many people my way. Sophia Nymphius, Jeremy Shepherd. Like, he's basically the podcast agent. So he's done really well for me. Martin Bouchai, another fantastic guy who's been very honest in his feedback about the podcast on a number of occasions, which has been superb. Because it's quite hard to get people to actually give honest feedback. The feedback is normally, oh yeah, it's good, yeah, I like it. But there's people like Martin who will actually tell me how it is. You should be doing this, you should be doing that. This is good, this is not good. So there's not been loads of negativity towards that. Maybe they're just not telling me. And there is negativity out there, but there's one or two occasions, but the majority of it's been really positive, which has been great. And I think the more, I'm comfortable putting other people on the stage and just kind of holding into the background. That's where I'm comfortable. So, and that's what will continue to happen. So, yeah.
Yeah. Early on, I think a lot of people, you know, that connector role can be a powerful role, you know, somebody that can connect, you know, two people to each other, you know, and by doing that, you're elevating yourself in the same time. And eventually, like you're finding is, you know, you're able to kind of go beyond that to become the person that could be the keynote speaker, or, you know, put on the event, or be the person that's being interviewed, or whatever. And, you know, I think, you know, some people always, you know, it's either the two extremes. They're completely scared to get into doing anything from fear of ridicule, or they want it too fast. They want to be, you know, Brett Bartholomew tomorrow or Rob Hasey tomorrow. You know, there's a big journey there that you have to go on, but mm-hmm. I couldn't agree with you more. Well, man, we end the show with some resources here. Give us the best piece of coaching advice you ever received.
Oof. Build a network. And that was from an outgoing member of staff that I worked with. A new manager came in and he thought he was going to keep his job, but unfortunately wasn't. And that was his kind of parting shot. And he ended up having numerous of the clubs, because the network that he'd built, ended up having a little bit of success in the US and then came back to the UK. So yeah, build a network.
Give us a book, app, and website recommendation.
So book, I would go for Ego is the Enemy. That's definitely one that comes to mind straight away, by Ryan Holiday. Website, we'll go app first. So could be both. Trello. So Trello has been a big part of me organizing all the stuff that's been going on from work and from podcast and all that kind of stuff. So Trello's been superb. That could be both app and website. Let me come back to that. Did you say book? I've said book. Quote.
Yeah, you had sportperformsci.com.
Oh yes, that's Martin. That's Martin's website. Yeah, that makes sense. So that's the that's Martin and Jan Lemer and Mattiola Com's website, which is definitely superb.
Oh, that's good, man. Trello is probably
a lifesaver.
It's probably the single best thing that I've ever found.
It's incredible. It's free as well.
Yeah, no, it's free, and I created a video. Those of you guys who are listening, you know, if you're not familiar with it, I use it with the Getting Things Done system by David Allen. And if you go to YouTube and search my name and Trello, you should see a video of how I use it. But I'm sure I'd love to see how you use it as well, Rob. But I mean, it's a powerful tool, and if you use that system, it's probably the single best thing that I've done in terms of my productivity in my career. But well, man, like I said at the beginning, I really appreciate those that put themselves out there, that take the time to create resources for other coaches and aren't afraid to share information, you know, and instead of hoarding it like some people do, you know. And I think that, you know, that speaks volumes to your character and what you've been able to build. And it's been fun to kind of watch your journey from afar as well and build a friendship over the years, man. So appreciate you coming on the show finally.
No, thanks a lot, mate. And I mentioned Brendan as inspiration for starting the podcast, but Mind Game Shark Talk was definitely up there as inspiration as well. While I was walking to work and listening to you and Duncan French talk on episode 60 something, and yeah, remember that. Yeah,
oh, that's awesome. Thanks, man.
I appreciate it. Cheers, Ron.
That's it for this episode of Iron Game Chalk Talk. Thanks to this week's guest, as well as our sponsors, for bringing this episode to you for free. Make sure to check out ronmckeefrey.com, where you can join our mailing list, find the show notes, including all the links and resources mentioned, and information about Coach McKeefrey's other products. While you are there, please join Coach McKeefrey in the comments section thanking our guest for sharing. If you haven't subscribed to Iron Game Chalk Talk on YouTube or iTunes yet, make sure to do so. Comments, ratings, and reviews are always welcome. Coach McKeefrey can be found on Twitter at @rmckeefrey, on Facebook and YouTube at @ron.mckeefrey. That's it for this week. Be sure to check back next week for another great episode of Iron Game Chalk Talk.